Hello, America. This is the place for uncensored talk on everything that divides us as a nation. I'm Alan Jacoby, and welcome to The Great Divide. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Great Divide. I'm your host, Alan Jacoby. Hope you're all doing well. So it's no secret that the mainstream media controls the narrative and flow of information reported to the public. I mean, we've seen that for the past 5 years, that maybe everything's not reported so accurately. Maybe things aren't reported at all. If there's a story that fits the left's agenda, you better believe it's going to be the top story until, well, the woke left narrative is embedded into the heads of millions of people, ultimately brainwashing them. That's what... You see it constantly. Everyone who relies on that idiot box in their living room and what all of these various news media outlets are saying. They leave out a lot of facts. They change the facts, maybe just form it into opinions, and that's what they push. And it's a shame because there are people out there that rely on the news and really take every word that's said from these so-called professional journalists. I don't think they exist anymore. They're all activists. And they take it as gospel, as the facts, because that's what media is supposed to be. That's what media was intended to be and what it used to be. The days of objective reporting of the facts, to the public, for the public to form opinions, that's long over. That doesn't exist anymore. There's no objective reporting. Journalism has become, I'd say mostly based on one-sided opinion and one side of the story. Obviously left-leaning because, these media conglomerates are owned by, most of them are leftists. So, of course, you have Fox, which is mostly right-leaning, but, they have their moments, too. But the media doesn't even hide the bias reporting anymore. So I wanted to, there were some stories that happened recently, which I'm sure you've heard about at one point or another, but you heard about them and then they were gone. And obviously there's a reason for that because they didn't fit a certain narrative. So I wanted to point out some stories that came and went like a flash in the pan. Well, they didn't fit that sick left narrative and serve no purpose in pushing the left self-serving woke agenda. I mean, let's face it. If it didn't push white supremacy, if it didn't push gun control, well, they didn't want to report it too much because, it didn't do anything for them and anything that they want to do in their big giant power grab, because that's what we know is going on in the administration today and in politics. The Democrats have the House, they have the Senate, they have the executive branch. I mean, look, they want to ultimately take over the Supreme Court and pack it with all, liberal leftist judges. That's going on as we speak. The President Biden, who swore back in the 80s, he said packing the Supreme Court was a bonehead idea. That's exactly what he said. And now he wants to put a commission together of constitutionalists and bipartisan, he says, Republican and Democrat, on a 180-day study on court reform. And that ultimately means, can he and could he pull off packing the court, the Supreme Court, extending the amount of judges to however many they possibly could to get the sick liberal majority and politicize the court? So just goes to show what the power grab is all about. Excuse me. So the stories that don't fit the narrative, you hear about them maybe for a day, maybe 2 days, and they're gone. And then you compare these stories to other stories that the media pushes and pushes and pushes and still pushes to this day. Like, a radical Islamic terrorist, extremist that crashes his car into a barricade at the U.S. Capitol in broad daylight, killing a U.S. Capitol police officer, then getting out of the car, with a machete in an attempt to kill another police officer until that police officer shoots this sick Islamic radical extremist. So we heard about that story. It was a headline for, I don't know, maybe 48 hours, 72 hours, maybe. They talked about it. But when it was first reported that it happened, it was amazing. It was reported as breaking news, and social media just completely exploded, just spewing leftist liberalism everywhere. Just immediately, the woke, they were posting that it was white supremacists, it was a Trump supporter, an insurrection 2.0 in the name of white supremacy. It was crazy. They were going on and on and on and on and on. Facebook posts, Instagram, that they're at it again. The extreme right wing, sick white supremacists with their MAGA hats are attacking the Capitol again. Well, let's just get one thing straight. Number one, the white supremacy had nothing to do with the events on January 6th. I don't care what you say. You could say I'm wrong. It's opinion. I know I'm right. Nothing to do with white supremacy. And those people that did that were idiots. We'll get that out of the way. But number two, the radical Islamic extremist, it was a black man who idolized Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam, who historically we know just hates white people. So it just right there. You had the events on January 6th, where obviously like I said, that should have never happened. Those people were completely wrong. But still to this day, that's talked about and compared to white supremacy and making it look like every conservative is a white supremacist and that every conservative supports that, when no, most Republicans, conservatives, the right completely condemn that and what happened. It was horrible. It should have never happened. Those people are idiots, complete idiots. But like anything else, there are extremists in every organization. Again, look at Black Lives Matter and Antifa and like people like, you know, AOC, extremists, sickos. So this happens, and it happens to be a 25-year-old black male who is an Islamic extremist, and they didn't really talk much about that. They didn't talk much about that at all. His Facebook was, I believe, scrubbed from the internet. So why are we not talking about that? Well, obviously because it doesn't fit the narrative. We know, the smart people know. But again, it's just that media hypocrisy. MSNBC actually reported it was a white man in the car that crashed into the barricades. They actually put that out. They had to retract that. It's just amazing that mainstream media will just jump to that before anything is out, that it was a white man, because they expected it to be somebody white. They expected it to be a Trump supporter who maybe was out to hunt Nancy Pelosi or Democrats or something. Because again, they want to fuel that hate and that divisive ideology of the left and the right and the black and the white. Because that's what the media is, the most divisive organization in the United States is the mainstream media. 100%, hands down. You will never, at this moment in time, you would not convince me otherwise. The media fans the flames of racism, hate, segregation, you name it, and the politics obviously don't help. It helps the media. It helps the media turn us against each other. And, you know, we say that all the time. You know, but then once it was confirmed that it was a black Muslim, it was like crickets on social media. They were, I think I even seen a lot of posts from people that I knew and just, excuse me, various pages that I follow that the those posts were like they were deleted or hidden. You couldn't see them much anymore about, oh, it was a white Trump supporter with a MAGA hat. Yep. So it's interesting. Again, it's not interesting. It's sad. It's sad. I get people when they first hear about it, this particular story, like, oh, it's happening again. But these keyboard warriors who get on and just want to type and type and type and type until they just actually know what's going on, you're not helping anything. You're not helping whatever you believe in. No. You're just part of the problem, part of the division, part of the asinine, hate, fueling, just bullshit. Read a little bit. Let the facts come out. And that's it. Then maybe we could get some fair reporting in the press. Doubtful, but hopeful. But yeah, so that... Nothing on social media. And again, then the extremist who did it, his Facebook was completely scrubbed from the internet. And now no one's talking about it. No one's talking about it. Are they gonna, I don't even know. Did they have the police officer's funeral yet? I didn't even hear about that. Yeah, nothing. Nothing. It was gone from the news cycles, maybe. I'm telling you, it seemed like it was 72 hours. I don't even think it was a week. It was gone. And I don't understand why. Attack on the United States Capitol. Murdered a police officer. Murdered. January 6th, they can't even decide if that police officer was murdered. It seems like he wasn't. This time around, a black Muslim extremist murdered a police officer. Tried to kill another police officer with a machete that he bought earlier that day for the attack. That was proven already. And then, poof, it's gone. Because he wasn't a white Republican, let's face it. He was not a white conservative, Trump supporter, MAGA hat wearing Republican. If he was white, regardless, if he was white, it would still be top news and pushing. CNN would be talking about it every night. They'd still be pushing that narrative and the left's narrative of that all Republicans are white supremacists. And that, again, is the media bias of pushing that left narrative. Why aren't we talking about the Capitol police officer who got murdered? When is his funeral? Are they letting him lie in state in the Capitol rotunda like they did the other police officer from January 6th? You had a couple of the same-faced politicians. Oh, we got to put the flag at half-mast. You know, we're very sorry. Our prayers are with the police officer and the Capitol Police and his family. But nothing about the extremism of the individual, the black Muslim extremist that actually committed the murder and a try to attack the Capitol. And we haven't heard anything more of a motive. He follows Louis Farrakhan, you know. One of the biggest racists probably to ever walk the face of the earth. So, are we going to hear more about it? Are we going to hear more of a motive? I don't know. But don't tell me that there is any fair reporting in the media. Because there is none. Look at the mass shooting in Colorado. 10 people killed. 10 people killed in a supermarket, including a police officer. Again, the left was drooling, chomping at the bit. And immediately, politicians, media outlets posting about gun control and the type of gun and that what's happening to our country with the epidemic of gun violence. And again, assuming it was a white man with a gun. What happened? Nope. Sorry, folks. Wrong again. Syrian-born ISIS sympathizer. No, but the media didn't talk much about that. No, why would they? Why would they? It didn't fit the narrative. The leftist, sick, woke narrative. Oh, they were, you know, I believe, and it shows in their reporting that they're actually like, they're disappointed. They're disappointed that it wasn't a white person that committed the crime, that murdered 10 people. They care more about the race of the person than those 10 people that were gunned down. 9 people in a supermarket and the first responding police officer that arrived to try to help. So then when they didn't want to talk about him being a Syrian-born ISIS sympathizer, they talked about, again, pushing the gun control and how he got the gun. But meanwhile, Colorado had all these gun laws, and they have these gun laws in place already, and that didn't stop the shooting. They talked to the guy's family. They said he was a bit unhinged. He was a loner. But are we going to hear anything more on why he did it, and maybe his ties to other ISIS sympathizers? They want to talk about white supremacy and domestic terrorism being a systemic problem in the United States now. We just had a mass shooting in Colorado by a Syrian-born ISIS sympathizer, an attack on the U.S. Capitol by a radical extremist Muslim. So I'm hoping that our federal intelligence committee community is taking this seriously and looking into this and really digging deep. I mean, a lot of these extremists, I guess, act alone, but could they be cells for other groups? I mean, obviously it's possible. I would assume that. I would definitely assume that. Just like, you know, if the left, when the left-leaning mainstream media, if it was a white person that committed the shooting, they would assume that, well, yeah, that was just probably another white Republican because they were all white supremacist sickos, you know? So I don't know. Again, haven't heard anything more about it. It came and went. Really wasn't a big to-do. But again, it doesn't fit the left's narrative. We know. The left and the left media propaganda organizations, you know, they have a very clear ideology at this point. The left media propaganda, that's what it is. And it's the message, the ideology is, if the issue isn't white and from the right, then the media puts it out of sight. And that, we just saw that. U.S. Capitol and the Colorado shooting. No one's talking about the Colorado shooting anymore. But then, I'm going to say blew up in the media's face to the point where they silenced themselves on it, I feel. It's kind of my opinion on it, because you have the big Asian hate narrative that the left was pushing, which I feel like is fizzling out. That was, you know, a few weeks ago, I guess. They tried to push the Asian hate hard with the Atlanta mass shooting. So we had the Atlanta mass shooting before the Colorado shooting. And the Atlanta mass shooting, it was a 21-year-old white guy that shot and killed 8 people in 3 different massage parlors. 6 of those people were Asian women. And that was enough right there for the woke left and the mainstream media, before any details or facts, that it was an Asian hate crime. Every media outlet, Democratic panderer and politician and Hollywood idiot screamed Asian hate crimes. Asian hate crimes, crimes against Asians. They, you know, it was everywhere. Asian hate. Meanwhile, the guy who committed the shootings, just sick individual, he openly admitted that his motive was that he had a sex addiction and he couldn't control it. And that's why he went to three massage parlors and shot those people. He was trying to eliminate his temptation. Now, that in itself is just sick. I mean, maybe see a psychiatrist. I don't know. To just figure it out. 21 years old, you have a sex addiction. And then everyone, yeah, they were calling him a liar. They were saying, no, it's an Asian hate crime. He targeted six Asian women, but eight people were killed. And the media and the left made it a point not to care at all about the three non-Asian victims. And because we didn't even hear much about those three victims, I honestly forget what they were. I don't know if it was either one white and two Hispanic or two white and one Hispanic, but that's something we should know just as much as the six Asian women that were killed. But again, that's the reporting and the narrative that the media is pushing and the politics are pushing from the left that, no, we got six Asian women on this. We have to promote Asian hate, because white people are white supremacists, especially Republicans. So that's the narrative that they have to go with, the media. And that blew up in their face. So that false narrative that the left pushes, again, they realize that it didn't have anything to do with white supremacy. So they kind of pump the brakes on it. And if I believe, because most of the time, so if this was truly an Asian hate crime, like fueled by white supremacy, the shooter usually, he would be proud of what he did. If someone shoots and kills eight people, to me, I doubt they're lying about the motive why they said they did it. If he went out and killed six Asian people and three people happen to just be bystanders, and he openly said, well, I hate Asians and I was going to kill them, most people who target a group are sick enough that know when they get caught to say why they did it. Profilers, professional like FBI profilers and things like that would be able to figure that out, and they would get that out. No, this was just some idiot 21-year-old kid, monster, that decided to go out and kill. He didn't care who was in those massage parlors. He didn't care if they were white, black, Asian, Hispanic, nothing. He just knew those were his temptation spots, so he was going to go eliminate them. Does it make it any better? No, absolutely not. The point is, the media pushing a narrative, a false narrative that's not true. And it's obvious, but the media feels the general public are idiots and they rely on their idiot boxes, and that whatever they say, people will agree with and believe. And unfortunately, that's the case with a lot of people. So they can push that narrative and people will believe it, and it'll cause the divide, and they'll go out there and push their narrative onto someone else, to people who will agree, and then fight with the people that disagree. So again, the media made up the narrative. But why now has the the Asian hate crime narrative kind of quieted down a bit in the media, right? You're not hearing a lot about it in the past maybe 2 weeks or so. But why? I mean, I don't know. I'm going to take a shot in the dark and say, well, because there were all these rash of Asian hate crimes in inner cities, and oh look, they were committed by young black men. Asians in inner cities getting harassed and beat, sometimes to death, by black men. The media doesn't want to report heavily on that. They'd love to not report on that at all. The woman in New York City, that Asian woman that got the life beat out of her in front of some building, and then the two black doormen on video closed the door. Didn't even help the woman. I believe they got fired. They should have been locked up too. By a black guy who 19 years prior killed his mother, stabbed his mother to death, was out on parole. And he beat, I think the Asian woman died. I'm not 100% sure now, actually. But neither here nor there. There were quite a few other Asian hate crimes that occurred in inner cities and other communities that were all committed by young black men. And they said that white supremacy is running rampant and that whites hate Asians. Within the statistics are showing that most violent crimes against Asians are committed by young black men again. They just had an incident in New York City, I believe, yesterday, that a Hispanic man walked up to a Asian, I believe, a Chinese male, and started threatening him and telling him, "You should go back to China, or I'll put you in the graveyard. I want to punch you in the face and or stab you and other violent threats." But he didn't know that he was threatening a plainclothes New York City police officer. Well, they eventually got him and arrested him, and he didn't care. He felt that way. And it was a Hispanic male that was threatening violence and death to an Asian police officer in plain clothes. So I'm thinking, because that narrative kind of blew up in the media's face, saying, well, we can't blame all these Asian crimes on white people now. And the guy in Atlanta is saying he had a sex addiction. So this really isn't working for us. So let's just stop talking about it and it'll fizzle out. People will forget. And it's true. When you stop talking about something, people will forget. So that's why they keep talking about January 6th and the insurrection and white supremacists and Republicans. Because if it's in your face, like anything else, it's like a TV commercial. You'll always think about it, be in the back of your head. You'll always remember it. Something will happen to make you remember that. The media, excuse me. The media reminds me of the kid who plays a game, and when that kid is losing, just quits playing and walks away. Moves on to something else. This isn't working. I'm done. I'm taking my ball and I'm going home. And I feel that's the media when it comes to stories that they try to push, that just kind of, they make themselves look like fools. They say, all right, we'll just stop talking about it. Let's find something else. We'll deflect. We'll move on to the next thing. Yep, that's what the media does. Something doesn't fit the woke narrative. We'll just stop talking about it. It's pathetic. It's pathetic, because if you just reported the facts and stopped, if they stopped being activists, like these idiots on CNN and MSNBC, that Brian Stelter and Don Lemon, some people pronounce his name Don Lemon. I really don't care. He's an idiot. All of them. Chris Wallace. Just how about everyone wants to make a name for themselves or try the gotcha BS? A gotcha? No. just report the facts, ask the questions. And again, you see the difference on how the media reports, like on presidential administrations. We could talk about that for hours, how they report on the Trump administration, how they're reporting on the Biden administration, how the press is asking the press secretary of the Trump administration, Kayleigh McEnany, how they're dealing with her, and how they deal with the press secretary from the Biden administration, Chucky, Jen Psaki. So Jen Psaki has a press conference every day, and it's just boring. There's questions, and Fox will ask a question that's pressures her a little bit, but then it ends and she walks out. Kayleigh McEnany was in there, and immediately it was hostile from the moment she got to the podium. And as she's leaving, reporters are screaming at her. I don't think that's happened once during the Biden administration. So you could see, again, that hypocrisy of the media, how they treat the different administrations. It's sickening. It's pitiful. It's like it's an act. It's fake. Like, what are we watching? Another story, and this one's sick. I don't know. Does the name Muhammad Anwar mean anything to you? Do you know who Muhammad Anwar is at all? Probably not. And there's a reason for that, too, because this story kind of fizzled out. Well, who's Muhammad Anwar? I mean, if I ask you who George Floyd was, you'll know who George Floyd was, right? Obviously, you'd know who George Floyd was. Well, Muhammad Anwar was a 66-year-old Pakistani immigrant who worked as an Uber delivery driver, had a family. This just happened 2 weeks ago. Two teenage black girls, 13 and 15 years old, attempted to carjack Muhammad Anwar. They got into his car and they tased him. They had a taser. 13 and 15-year-old black girl walking around Washington, D.C., broad daylight on a busy street, attempted to carjack, and they tased him. Well, he tried to fight it off. He tried to fight these girls off. He did not want to give up his car, what he worked for. He was fighting for what he believed was his and what he earned in his life. And he lost his life on the streets of Washington, D.C. that day because the car went into drive as he was hanging out of the, and there's video of it all over. I'm sure you've seen it. He's hanging out of the driver's door and the car takes off down the block with him and the two girls in it. You can hear him yelling, "It's my car." And they crash into something, and then they turn the corner and you hear this loud crash and the car has flipped over onto its side, ultimately ejecting Muhammad Anwar out of the vehicle, killing him. And this 13 and 15-year-old girl crawled out of the car, and all they cared about was where their phones were. So he was murdered during an attempted carjacking. And we're not talking about this anymore. There's little blips in the media right now. I haven't seen one in a few days. The media, CNN actually did this too. The media reported that Muhammad Anwar was killed in an accident during an attempted carjacking. An accident. This was murder. I mean, it wasn't, first degree murder. They didn't go out, those girls didn't go out expecting to kill Muhammad Anwar that day. But they were going out for some trouble and decided to carjack him, and he died. He was killed. He was thrown from the car. Horrifically, he died fighting for what was his. defending himself. These two teenage black girls, and I'm going to keep saying that, black girls, 13 and 15 years old, got into Anwar's car, tased him. He's fighting them off. Hanging out of the driver's door, car flips over, he gets killed. So, where's the outrage? And the two girls, they were just more worried about getting their phones out of the flipped over car. They just tried to carjack. They didn't give a shit about Muhammad Anwar, who they just killed. And the media didn't care either. It wasn't two white teenagers, so there was no hate crime, a white supremacy narrative to push. If that was two white teenagers, this would be a hate crime. That there would be a white supremacy narrative to push. There would be protests. There would be a rally. It wasn't a black man that was killed. He was Pakistani. He was a legal immigrant in this country. Legal. But if the perpetrators were white, better believe, there would be major, major outcry and outrage. And the media would be pushing it, pushing hate crimes. The mayor of D.C. didn't even acknowledge this man being killed. She puts off some tone-deaf tweet about protecting your car from carjackers. Very poorly timed tweet. The mayor of Washington, D.C. didn't care either. She's a racist in herself. And apparently, by the way, those two teenage girls, from what I'm reading and haven't seen an update on it in a few days, are supposedly striking a plea deal with prosecutors. Again, where's the outrage? A plea deal? Because D.C. has certain laws about ages and the 13-year-old can't be tried as an adult. I don't even think the, I don't know, whatever it was, 15-year-old. Those girls aren't going to, they're not going to do time in jail in an adult prison. Maybe they'll end up in some program. That's okay. They carjacked a 66-year-old, hard-working man who came to this country legally, who's supporting his family. They tased him, they carjacked him, and they killed him. Yep. And again, the media does not care. No hate crime. It's sad. It's disgusting and it's disgraceful. So, again, you know, we know the media reports differently on everything. We know the media reports differently on prominent political figures. Based on party affiliation, obviously. I mean, look how they reported on Donald Trump for, look how they're still reporting on Donald Trump. Look how they're reporting on President Biden. Look how they report on AOC. Look how they report on Nancy Pelosi. And then you can see how they report on certain other Republicans as opposed to Democrats. Look at the reporting on the Republican congressman out of Florida, Matt Gaetz. He's in a bit of a pickle right now. He's being accused of those allegations that he had sexual relations with a underage girl and that a 17-year-old traveled with him and, you know, drug-fueled orgies with underage girls and all this. I laugh because it's so outlandish and there are a lot of people coming out to support Matt Gaetz and these allegations. I have no idea if Matt Gaetz is innocent or guilty. But that's what investigations in the justice system is for. If the investigation leads to his indictment or anything, well, you know, Congressman Gaetz will have to deal with that. as of right now, there's nothing. And, you know, supposedly someone in the Justice Department admitted to going to his father for $25 million for some overseas rescue operation. It's just that there's a lot going on there. But the media and the left, I mean, of course they're going to completely trash Matt Gaetz, because they're going to take the allegations and speak to them like facts, because, well, he's an outspoken Republican and he's a Trump ally. So the Democrat Congress members are calling for Gaetz to be removed from the Judiciary Committee already. Some people, a lot of Democrats are telling him he should resign. It's disgraceful. He's a disgrace. But these are only allegations. I mean, there's an investigation, and nothing has come of it yet. Nothing. So let's stop for a minute, because again, who Congressman Gaetz is, he's an outspoken Republican. If he wasn't an outspoken Republican congressman who was a Trump ally, we probably wouldn't even be hearing about this, let's face it. But let's stop for a moment and let's think about something else. Does the name Eric Swalwell ring a bell? Congressman Eric Swalwell, Democrat out of California. What about the name Fang Fang? Fang Fang. Does that name ring a bell? Well, Fang Fang is the communist Chinese spy that cozied up to Congressman Swalwell, quite intimately. Yes, United States Congressman Eric Swalwell was banging a Chinese spy, Fang Fang. Now, wouldn't you say that member of Congress is a disgrace and compromised when it's known that he had an ongoing relationship with a communist Chinese spy? Maybe Eric Swalwell, congressman, maybe he's a threat to national security. Also because he's a member of the Intelligence Committee and having knowledge and access to, you know, classified information that may be detrimental and important to our national security, that he's been exposed to this Chinese spy. To me, that's a problem, right? But nope. Nothing happened. You know, Swalwell, I always want to call him Eric Swallow. Whatever. He immediately says, you know, he had no clue Fang Fang was a spy for communist China. And, well, that was good enough. That was good enough for, you know, fancy Nancy Pelosi and all the other Democrats, because he remains on the Intelligence Committee. He's also on the Judiciary Committee. And back in January of this year, Pelosi put him on the Homeland Security Committee. Nothing to see here, folks. Nothing to see here. Democrat Congressman Swalwell, out of California, banging a Chinese spy. He's on Intelligence, Judiciary, and Homeland Security Committee. That's okay. Matt Gaetz has an allegation, sex trafficking, which they can't even find anything on yet. But again, that's what investigations are for. Who knows? I could be wrong. He could be guilty. I don't know. Even his female staffers are coming out in his defense. They're calling for his removal. People saying he should resign. Even some Republicans, I believe, are saying, oh, maybe he should resign. What about Cuomo? What has he got, like 10 accusers and thousands of murders under his belt with the nursing homes? He's not resigning. Media stopped talking about him. Really not saying much about him. And he's out there doing still his appearances and briefings. He's smart now. He's doing briefings without the press there. Doing, I think it's recorded briefings, so he can't take questions. Yep. Nothing to see here, folks. But again, Congressman Gates, just blasted by Democrats and the media over just allegations. Nothing's been proven at all. And again, why? It's because he's an outspoken Republican and he's a Trump ally. Very outspoken Republican, and that's a no-no. And I guarantee if Matt Gaetz was a Democrat, this wouldn't be a big story at all. It would be swept under the rug. This is politics. Look at Ron DeSantis, governor of Florida. He has a big spat with 60 Minutes right now. 60 Minutes, I mean, just it's outrageous how they edited the video to fit their narrative about the COVID vaccinations and the chain Publix. Publix is a chain of supermarket pharmacies down in Florida. They're everywhere. And they give donations to politicians all the time. And they gave Ron DeSantis a $100,000 campaign contribution. And he has them doing the vaccine rollout alongside CVS and Walgreens. And 60 Minutes turned this into a pay for play that they gave him $100,000 so they can get involved in the vaccines and I guess profit off of it. And some media outlets out there actually played the entire interview, and you could see how 60 Minutes blatantly edited it to fit their narrative. And that's, I mean, look at all of the editing of interviews and news conferences that they did on Trump about trying to pin him and being a white supremacist. They edited and hacked all those interviews and aired what they wanted, again, to fit the narrative. Because the days of reporting the facts and letting people form their own opinions, again, is over. You know, we're living in a period of time where the left and the mainstream media will stop at nothing to destroy the characters of any outspoken conservative. And this is politics, but right now it's at a new mutated level. And any conservative that they see gaining momentum as a possible threat to the left, they're going to find a reason to smear. That they will. Mainstream media will twist every story to fit the left's narrative. No matter who it hurts, doesn't matter. Sometimes even if it hurts another Democrat, I've said it before, they'll eat their own young to push their narrative. The left will use and manipulate the media for its smear campaigns because, well, that's the only way they seem to be able to succeed. And, you know, the left, for the most part, owns the mainstream media. So that's their propaganda machine. They will fan the flames. The mainstream media will fan those flames of divide and hate for the left woke sickos. That's what they are. But my other issue is the Republicans that are sitting on their ass letting all of this happen. Democrats will have congressional hearings for everything. Democrats will sue a presidential administration for everything. You know, Republicans need to do more than talk in front of a podium. You know, Republicans need to start filing lawsuits in federal court against the Biden administration on certain things. They have to bring the law into the fight. Gun issues, border security, school openings, voting laws. It needs to start happening. I think by this time in Trump's presidency, he had loads of lawsuits filed against him by Congress and other various local and state governments. I mean, attorney generals are suing the Biden administration over voting laws that they're trying to pass and other things. Look at the border coverage versus Trump versus Biden. We didn't hear that they had what two Yemen extremists that are on a terrorist watch list come through the southern border. They grabbed them. Not hearing much on that. If they grabbed two, how many got in? If they grabbed two, how many got in? And how many more are getting in? There was that story a few months ago about the 11 Iranians that they grabbed. Didn't hear anything about them. So, want to talk about domestic terrorism and white supremacy. Let's talk about domestic terrorism and terrorist sympathizers and terrorist cells coming from terrorist harboring countries that now know it's very easy to get into this country through the southern border, because they're not just coming from Central America now. I mean, they're coming from Haiti. They're coming from everywhere. They're coming from Yemen. They're coming from Iran. Where else are they coming from? Don't tell me that ISIS sympathizers or other radical terrorist organization members are not coming over the border, blending in. It's definitely happening. I don't think that's an assumption. I think that's a fact. Well, we don't really know. The only way we really know what's going on down there is when, you know, Republicans from Congress go down and hold a news conference. They let the media in once. We know it's overcrowded. I guess I can't fault the media right now for that, because they're not really being told anything. They're being kept in the dark. They're not happy about it, but that doesn't excuse them from all the biased reporting that they do on a daily basis. And they do. And how do we stop it? Well, we don't. But when we know something, it's, you know, that there are other avenues. You actually open your eyes, do some reading, do some research. There are other outlets out there. I read and watch everything. You can find the information. You don't have to rely on CNN. You don't have to rely on NBC. You don't have to rely on Newsmax. It doesn't take half a brain to get accurate information. So that's it, folks. The media madness, well, that's just what it is. It's sick. It's hypocritical. It's not going to change. And we'll just have to, you know, wade through all the bullshit to get to the real information. All right, that's it for me. Until next time, we'll talk to you soon. Go take a look at the website. You can get all the episodes, thegreatdivide1776.com. You get the Instagram page there. You can get the Facebook page, YouTube videos. Everything's right from the website, thegreatdivide1776.com. Until next time, take care. God bless America. You can reach out to me with opinions and ideas for other episodes at thegreatdivide1776@gmail.com. You can also find me on social media at The Great Divide Podcast. And please be sure to leave a review for this podcast so the show can be shared to other listeners. Thank you, and God bless America.